So for us, we're going to continue in our series in prayer, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 7, and we're going to be looking at the heart of prayer. Last time we looked at the mindset of prayer, and basically, apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. So if we can do nothing on our own, it really does lead us into relationship, into prayer, because we are dependent people on our Lord. But today we're going to look at the heart of prayer and just the sense of relationship and how that can bring us in and usher us in as well. So would you stand with me as we want to hear from the Lord? He is going to speak from His Word, and we, by standing, are just expressing submission to Him. So Jesus says this. This is in the middle of, or towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And that's the heart that drives us into prayer. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We know you are our sovereign. We know you're powerful. We know you're the creator and the sustainer. But God, we come to you as Father. God, I pray that you would meet us in that we would wrestle with the relationship that we have with you, the living God, not to negate any of those other things. But Father, I pray that you would free us up in prayer because of a relationship with you. God, I pray for those in this room who do not have a relationship through Christ, through faith in Christ. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that you would open the door to them, that they would come to know you. God, I pray for those here that do know you. God, free us up in prayer. God, give us a sense of what it is to pursue you as our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So back in sixth grade, I discovered a love for the game of basketball. I was kind of tall, and I was never great at basketball, but I could hold my own, right? But I would go down to the park and loved some pickup games, and things would, you know, just kind of just flow smoothly. You know, I could shoot well, I could move, everything was kind of like free. And then I would go and play for my team at school, and I started free. I started just kind of just the way I learned how to play on the playground or down at the park. But soon I started to like play in a calculated way. I started to think too much. And it really got pronounced in high school when our entire team was basically kind of like lived in this kind of semi-fear of our coach. I get it. Coaches are kind of, you know, trying to motivate. But our entire team played afraid of our coach. We were actually a great team during youth group basketball leagues. We were awesome. We just played and we had fun. We were free. We actually played a ton of the same guys that were on other teams. It was great. But when we came together as our high school team, we played in a very timid manner. We played to not make mistakes. And as a result, we were far from a good team. We were so worried about doing things wrong that we couldn't play well. We were locked up. We were anxious, sometimes even fearful, and we were really not a great team as a result. Same with prayer. I think we are so often focused on trying to not do it wrong. Like, Keith, tell me how I'm supposed to pray. Tell me the method that I'm supposed to do so I don't mess it up. And once we do that, it's kind of like trying to play sports and you're thinking too much and you're trying to just end up in this kind of system. Nothing wrong with a system, but when it locks you up, you somehow are internalizing it the wrong way. I think the same with prayer. That if we're so focused on not doing it incorrectly, I would submit that we'll probably just end up giving up or not even trying at all. Because when we are trying to pray right, we will most likely stop praying. Why? Because it misses the heart of prayer. And ultimately, the heart of prayer is relationship. And the idea of relationship becomes the essence of what prayer is. And Jesus is laying this out. And he says in verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened." So really, it is the sense of prayer is the Father giving us permission to be in relationship with him. The idea of asking, a request, in some contexts, this Greek word is used in the word to demand something, and I'm not necessarily pushing us there, but asking is not just a flippant asking. There's a little bit of force behind it. To ask, to seek, to try to find something, to try and obtain it, and if you to seek it, you will find it. And that idea of find, the Greek word is the word that we get our word eureka from. It's when you find something, eureka. That's actually the Greek word for to discover something and to find it. And so this sense of prayer is this interplay, asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking, and it will be opened. It's not that you open the door, it's opened to you. There's a back and forth in relationship, and relationship is the heart of prayer. So if we're focused on the method of prayer rather than the relationship that leads us into prayer, we've got no chance. And yet, think about all the times you're like, all right, what's the method I should be praying, right? And when we do that, I think we miss it. It's kind of like, think of the last time you were around a table or a circle with good friends or really close family. Not the family that's hard to be around, but the really close family. The ones that, like, you know, it's effortless and you're laughing and all that stuff. You know, did you, like, script that conversation? Like, you know, someone says, okay, now we're going to just say really nice things about each other. And then next, we're going to tell each other all the ways that we're sorry for how we hurt each other. And then we're going to thank each other for all the nice things that we did for each other. And then we're going to start asking things for each other. It doesn't go that way. It's more like a shotgun blast, right? It's this sense where you start and somebody tells a funny story and that reminds somebody of another funny story from 20 years ago, and then you're all of a sudden back to yesterday, and then you're crying over something that, like, man, that's how real conversation goes. It's asking and knocking and seeking. It's back and forth in the sense of relationship. But it is also, Jesus gives us permission to be bold. So the corollary to Matthew 7, there's a parallel passage in Luke 11. And Luke 11 is another place where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer. We just prayed it. The Lord's Prayer is in Luke 11. His disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer. Basically, this is what you should pray. But the verses that follow is how you should pray. Get this. So it's not just asking, seeking, knocking. This is what Jesus says is how we should pray in verse 5 of Luke 11. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Jesus goes on, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his," that's the guy outside, "his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Now, that word here, impudence, insolence is another translation, importunity, basically a bunch of words we never use. And what is it is the sense of shamelessly asking for something. Almost even, it's often used in some sort of like contemptuously rude behavior. So like, the person says, "Nope, I'm not going to help you." And this guy is not going anywhere. He's going to get some bread for his friends that came from out of town because he has none, but he knows his friends got some. And he's going to knock and knock and knock and keep asking. Isn't it wild that Jesus would liken that friend knocking on a door to the heart that he gives us the freedom to have in prayer? You're like, "Ooh, that don't sound like right. You know, it's not honoring, it's not worshipful." And he's basically saying, go before your Father in heaven and keep asking, not to be a pest, but to ask in faith. I think it requires great faith to go through these steps. It takes great faith to continually ask, and how easily we give up. The heart of prayer is expressed just like the heart of Hannah when she was praying for a son, and ends up God gives her a son named Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, she says this, or Samuel writes, "But Hannah answered," because basically she was getting... people were wondering, was she drunk because she was so fervent in her prayer? That was basically the charge. And Hannah answered, "No, my Lord," that's the one who is asking, "I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." Pouring out my soul before the Lord. And then she articulates the emotion behind her prayer in the next verse. Verse 16 of 1 Samuel 1. "Do not regard your servant," that's her, "as a worthless woman. For all along I have been speaking and praying out of my great anxiety and vexation." That's basically her complaint or her anguish is anxiety, and her grief and maybe even pushing to fury is her vexation. Speaking out of her anguish and grief, she is praying before the Lord. The relationship of prayer is at the heart of what's going on when we pray. Paul Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, this is a great quote, because often you would think a book on prayer, the point is prayer, right? And he ultimately is going to say it's not. "Oddly enough," he writes, "many people struggle to learn how to pray because they are focusing on praying, not on God. Making prayer the center is like making conversation the center of a family mealtime. In prayer, focusing on the conversation is like trying to drive while looking at the windshield instead of through it. It freezes us, making us unsure of where to go. Conversation is the only vehicle through which we experience one another," meaning at meals. "Consequently, prayer is not the center of the book that he's writing. Getting to know a person, God, is the center." Relationship is the heart of prayer. And if it's about methods for you, most likely you really don't enjoy prayer. It's about dwelling and knowing the heart of the Father. And it's in that relationship that we see the Father's love. And that's the foundation of prayer, that he loves us. Our Father in heaven loves us far more than our earthly father. Now, we have all sorts of fathers represented in here. Some kids have their dads in this room. Some, their fathers have passed on to eternity. Some are in the presence of the Lord. Some have really great fathers. Some have really difficult fathers, even if not horrible ones. And so at times, us having earthly fathers can mislead us about who God is when he calls himself Father. And Jesus takes this on in verses 9 and 10. Somehow the reference got up there, but just roll with me. Or which one of you, he says, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? He's like, of course a dad won't do that. And then he says this in 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So Jesus is making this comparison between what we can see and what we experience and what we know, basically our earthly fathers, and he's using that as a comparison to say, now you understand how much the Father loves you. Not because an earthly father can love like God. It's that how much more is your heavenly Father going to love you compared to your earthly father? And Jesus, that phrase of who are evil is just the natural inclination of mankind away from God. He's not putting all dads, you know, as if they were like Hitler or something. But it's what we can, what we can see and experience, our earthly dads, help us understand what we can't see, our heavenly father. Our earthly fathers, as they provide, we understand that our Father in heaven provides, but how much more? It really is a math lesson. Our earthly dads, they know how to love us and provide for us, but it's limited. How much more, how much greater, how much more expansive is our Heavenly Father in the way that he loves? The power of a request of a child stems from the relationship, not in the power of the asking, right? Most kids don't ask in a way that actually deserves a good answer. And every parent says, yep, right? A child is in relationship with his or her father. A father hears and responds because of his love for them, not because of their asking, and even in the power of the request. Even if it's not phrased properly, the response of a father is rooted in relationship. And then, so prayer actually isn't just a relationship, but it actually connects us and helps us see the heart of a father for his children. Any answer to our prayers, any gift that God gives to us, is because of the love of the Father for us as his children. The Apostle Paul takes this on in Ephesians 3. And Jimmy referenced the end of Romans 11 about the unsearchable knowledge of who God is. Paul also takes on that concept in Ephesians 3. And this cuts right into the middle of a sentence, but it's so long we can't take it on. But he's praying for them that they may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's praying that they would know what can't be known. And how? Is that they are coming into relationship with the living God. They know Christ. They live him. They live out of that relationship. They enjoy the Father's love, that we would actually come in to know the love that surpasses knowledge. And we all say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's about right for the gospel, right? We come into a sense of mystery, not because we understand it all, but we come to a Father who loves us enough that he's going to declare himself and show us his glory in ways that we cannot even understand. And what's beautiful is that the Father loves to hear us pray. He loves to hear from us. I was putting some things together this past week, and it was about 4:45 on Thursday. And I was sitting here, and I knew that Caitlin, my youngest daughter, started work at 5 o'clock. And that morning, I left early before anybody was awake in our house, and I hadn't seen her all day, and I wouldn't get to see her until she finished her shift, and that was like at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, man, I don't like that. I don't like just not being able to see her. So I just kind of packed everything up. I threw it in my bag, and I jumped in my car. I just wanted to see her and connect with her before she started work, even ever so briefly. And as I pull up, I realize that I missed her, and she's already gone into work. And so I parked, and I'm like, all right, how do I pull this off? I waited until I see her come outside to take her post. And so I was like, well, whatever. I just got out, and I started walking over. So I'm going across the parking lot, and she sees me. She's like, Dad, kind of, what are you doing here? And I was like, I just wanted to come see you before you started work. And then my heart as a dad just got filled up as she sprints across the parking lot and throws her arms around me. Okay, that was better than I was expecting, but I was happy to get to see her. But that response, and what did that do to me as a dad, is I wanted to be with her. I wanted to enjoy her. I wanted to just even say, hi, how are you? I'll see you later. I would take 10 seconds. Why? Because I love hearing from my daughter. And if I, who am evil, can love like that, how much more does your Father in heaven long to hear from you? Long to see you, long to be in you with him, in his presence. God the Father loves us, he knows us, and he wants to hear from us. What's interesting is that in relationship, it's not a duty, it's not a method. Paul Miller writes this later in his book. He says, Jesus' example teaches us that prayer is about relationship. Okay, we got that. When he prays, he's not performing a duty. He's getting close to his Father. You don't create intimacy. You make room for it. If you're saying, you know what, I don't feel close to God, the bummer is you can't create that. You can't manufacture it. But you can make room for the intimacy and closeness of God. And I think that's the heart of prayer, is us entering into a relationship with a Father who loves us and loves us immensely. But then we also see the Father's capacity. Remember last week we talked about our capacity, that without God we can do nothing. So our capacity is nothing without him. And yet we try to pretend as if we have capacity. Well, now the Father's capacity gives us a rationale for prayer. It's not just come to me because I'm going to love you, he says. Come to me because I can actually do something. It's the wisdom and basis of prayer is that he's a Father who responds to a child. A child learns to ask for everything, for food, for sleep, to be changed, to be comforted, everything a child needs. They must ask for it. That's the learned behavior. And this is the beautiful thing. In verse 8, when Jesus is teaching this, he says, for everyone who asks, what? Receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. that the Father wants to give good gifts. Go and look at verses 9 through 11, and you'll see the word give at least four times. It's even thrown in once earlier in our passage. Our Father knows how to give good things. Our Father knows how to actually provide for us. He knows what we need. It's been said, I'm not sure who this is, but it's some quote, that He gives us what we would have asked for if we knew what He knows. If we had the wisdom of God, we would ask for what He ends up giving us. And so His heart beats to give good gifts. And what's wild is that in all of this is the heart of the gospel. I'll close with this as we enter into and go to the Lord's Supper. That it's one thing to come to Him as Father and know that He can give, but why would He give those who are evil good gifts? And that's where the heart of the gospel comes in, and it meets the love of God. So in Romans 8, don't have this on the screen, but in verse 32, that it's talking about God in His relationship with Jesus the Son, that He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? What Paul's saying is, if the Father was willing to give His own Son for our salvation, what's left? Basically, all things are ours because He's already done the most difficult, the highest value, the thing most worthwhile. He's already given it. Everything else is merely gravy. And so if we're wondering, can God and will God give? Absolutely. And when we go to the table, we see the idea, that we see the premise of the gospel, that God the Father was willing to give His Son so that you and I could be in relationship with Him. Do you know Him by faith? Have you come to that place where you surrender your life to Him as Lord, knowing that your sin is in rebellion to God, yet the death and resurrection of Jesus, it pays for your sin and then also gives you life? It's by faith in Jesus that we actually come into relationship with God the Father. Do you know Him today? Let's pray. God, I ask that You would do great work in us this morning. Father, as we think about how easily we get locked up in prayer, how easily we think about methods or trying to do it correctly, and Father, we just miss the heart that You want us to be near You. You want us to run and just be close to You. God, that we would understand what it is as us as Your children, You as our Father. God, help us not overthink it. Help us to just be joyful in prayer, like a conversation, like we would with our best friends. God, that You welcome us into a family meal and You're around the table. God, give us a freedom in that we don't miss the heart of prayer, that we are dwelling and coming near to You in a relationship. God, I pray that would sink deep in our hearts as we partake this morning from the table. God, I pray that You would convince us of the gospel yet again. In Jesus' name, amen.